Rebuilding the Ancient Ruins, Part 3. As Great Britain releases itself from the lockdown on people's lives due to the coronavirus pandemic and begin to rebuild itself again, there will be a time of hardship and suffering. During this time, many will have lost a loved one. There will be much sorrow and misery. Then, as companies and businesses begin to reopen, many businesses will go bankrupt, adding further misery, with many folk losing their jobs. The pain will continue for some. There needs to be someone who can bring hope into the sad situation, who can draw alongside folk and point them to none other than Jesus. We follow the same theme of rebuilding people's lives by continuing with the theme, illustrated by the rebuilding of the gates of Jerusalem in the time of Nehemiah. We have journeyed so far with Nehemiah in learning the lessons followed by the Israelites as they began rebuilding the sheep gate, followed by the fish gate. We learned to begin to rebuild our lives, we need to invite Jesus as our good shepherd, also calling himself the gate, becoming part of his sheepfold. And then we need to discover his voice, as the disciples did the first time he called them to become fishers of men. We now turn our attention to the next gate being built, the old gate, referred to in Nehemiah 3 verse 6 as the Jeshanah gate, which means old. Over the years that Chris and I have been ministering together, we would get the occasional telephone call from a Christian friend asking us if we would be willing to meet up with a friend of theirs who is struggling with life, asking us to talk with them and pray with them, to enable them to be set free from whatever situation or difficulty is hindering them on their Christian walk with God. There is an important lesson here, one where we can take Jesus as our prime example. Apart from the one occasion when Jesus specifically desired to go through Samaria because he needed to meet the Samaritan lady, who, having met Jesus, turned her life around and became one of his followers, he never went seeking after people. People came to him, having heard about his great teaching and the great miracles he did. It is important we allow those in need to first ask for help, as opposed to persuading them to seek help. When they make that decision for themselves and ask for help, they come with a willing heart and are open to God's changing them and renewing them. When we go into hospital for an operation, the surgeon starts from the outside and works in, but Jesus works from the inside out. When anyone comes to our home seeking help, I would take the lead if it was a man, while Chris would prayerfully listen and wait on the Lord to show her where the root lay that caused their life to run into difficulty. Having relaxed ourselves before we start, the first thing we would ask is for them to tell us their story, giving us a potted version of their life. This would mean going back to the start, right back to their childhood, relating to the old days. It was necessary to look back to the past because somewhere along their life journey, something would have taken place in their life which will have been the seed, which would have developed and caused a change in their life, which was evident in their life right up to this present day. We needed to go back in time to the old days, to a time in their life which would have been the trigger which caused this dramatic change in their life ever since. Mankind is full of evil, which is increasing at an ever greater rate each day. Folk ask, what has gone wrong with the world? We have to go back again to the old days, right back to the day when Adam and Eve were first created to see the cause of such evil. Satan deceived Eve, who disobeyed God, by taking of the fruit of the tree of good and evil in Genesis 2:17. This was the day when disobedience came in, This is the root that started to grow and has brought such devastating evil today. We have to look for the root which took hold in a person's life, which grew into a tree of despair. In Isaiah 43:26 we read, "Review the past for me. Let us argue the matter together. State the case for your innocence." We have to go back to discover where we went wrong, to realize where we've done wrong, and ask God forgiveness. We also should look at the past to learn by our mistakes and in turn be able to help others from falling. As we review the past, illustrated by the old gate, we can now move on to the next gate that needed repairing in Nehemiah chapter 3, verse 13, the Valley Gate. During our time seeking and praying with those who needed help and needed to be healed from the emotional scars they are carrying, they need to reflect on the path they have taken. There will be a point in the conversation when they will pause. They will find it hard to continue to tell us about the path they were in. It becomes a sad moment. They may even show anger and resentment. It can be a very emotional moment as they reflect on what stressful situation they had experienced. Often, this is the root cause which has developed and created those years of misery and despair. There may be the occasion during their childhood when they may have lost a parent. It may be their parents have divorced. It may be one parent has lost a job, causing financial misery in the family. It could be they had experienced physical and mental abuse by the parents. In turn, the one you are praying with as a child may have been sidelined in becoming a scapegoat, creating a painful emotional time in the life, leaving a deep scar in their heart. Often, they will grow up with having to fight their own way in life. They will meet up with the wrong type of folk. They start on taking drugs. They may take up drinking. Life becomes very lonely. They feel they are walking through a deep valley. Remember that Jesus on the cross went through a valley of suffering, both in his 3 years of ministry and especially those hours of suffering on the cross. It was for us he spent those 3 hours of darkness on the cross. We are reminded of the words prophesied concerning Jesus in Isaiah 53:3-5. He was despised and rejected by mankind, a man of suffering and familiar with pain. Like one from whom people hid their faces, he was despised, and we held him in low esteem. Surely, he took up our pain and bore our suffering. Yet we considered him punished by God, stricken by him and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him, and by his wounds we are healed. We also read what the apostle described about Jesus in Hebrews 4:15-16. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to feel sympathy for our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet he did not sin. Let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in our time of need. What Jesus suffered was for us, and having experienced the false accusation on the cross, and because of what he experienced in his love and compassion, he is able to empathize with us. But most important, he is the one that can help us out of our pit of misery and despair. And above all else, he is able to heal us as we retrace our footsteps, as we look back at the past, as we once again retrace our steps, as we again walk that lonely valley. It is at this point in our time of helping our friends we stop and take stock of what has happened. In a loving and sensitive way, we highlight and explain how these experiences have had such a devastating effect on their life. It is at this point they can turn their life around. It is at this point, when we are in the deepest part of the valley, there is only one way up as we begin to cling to the meaning of life and all the good things life has to offer. But above all, the opportunity we have of allowing Jesus to heal us and raise us up back on our feet and begin to live the life Jesus originally had prepared for each one of us before time began. Let us read some of the very encouraging words from Isaiah 40, 28 to 31. Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. Back in my younger days, I used to like walking and often took a holiday in the Lake District in Cumbria in the north of England. A place of beauty, with wonderful mountains and valleys. This particular year, I decided to visit Scotland and climb Ben Lomond. It was a long, moderately steep slope with large areas of shale and gravel. Because the shale and gravel was on a steep slope, every step I took, my feet would slide back a little. It was not a straightforward climb, but once I reached the top of the mountain, it was such an exhilarating moment for me, such a sense of achievement, and what a wonderful view I had of Loch Lomond, and a beautiful panoramic view of the surrounding area. One then sat down for a short while to recover before making the long, more easy return back to the bottom. I've used my experience of climbing Ben Lomond to illustrate that once we begin the new road heading forwards and upwards, it can be a long road. At times we will feel ourselves sliding back, but with Jesus holding our hand, we will make it to the top. As we come out on top, we will sense a renewed joy in our spirit. Jesus will give us a fresh vision of all he has to offer for us and a real purpose for our life. We will never want to look back, and we will never want to pass through that deep valley again. Having experienced being taken through the old gate and then through the valley gate, having taken those first steps of renewal, we can now move on and study the dung gate, which illustrates what we need to throw out, those things that are locking up our emotions, that are a stumbling block, before we begin the much-anticipated climb back into freedom. We read in Nehemiah 3:14, the dung gate was repaired by Milijah, son of Rechab, ruler of the district of Beth-Hakkerem. He rebuilt it and put its doors and the bolts and bars in place. We know what the dung gate was used for. It was where all the discarded manure from the animals and any other unwanted materials would be discarded. It would be a very unpleasant job, a very necessary job for those employed to carry out the task. On our journey of renewal, the dung gate illustrates how that before we can really begin to build our life again, we have to discard all the baggage, the hurts, and emotional bondage that has affected us in the past. We need to regain freedom back into our heart. It is most interesting to see what village the man came from who was responsible for rebuilding the dung gate. He was from Beth-Hakkerem, which means the house of the vineyard. In those days, wine was produced by harvesting the grapes from the vineyard and placing them in a square stone trough. In the trough, workers would walk around the trough, crushing the grapes with their feet. Jesus talks about a winepress in one of his parables. We read in Matthew 21:33, Listen to another parable. There was a landowner who planted a vineyard. He put a wall round it, dug a wine press in it, and built a watchtower. Then he rented the vineyard to some farmers and moved to another place. When the harvest time approached, he sent his servants to the tenants to collect his fruit. We have to consider the environment needed for God's Spirit to work effectively in any situation, be it when seeking to counsel, guide and help a person, or in any type of Christian gathering. Remember, Satan is always out to infect the atmosphere to cause disharmony, disruption and discord. How the wine press is a picture of unity with the workers working as one, working around the stone trough, leaching out the sweet juices. The wine reminds us of when we commemorate communion, breaking of bread. It reminds us of the crushing Jesus experienced on the cross. But what a redemptive triumph. In order to produce wine, it has to be crushed to bring out the sweet juice. Likewise, as we begin to lead anyone through their valley, relive in the part of the past, when we pray and allow God's Holy Spirit to work in a person's heart, only one thing will be produced. It will be the sweet and tender love of God, bringing healing to the hearts of those who were once damaged and downtrodden. It is at this point that the things that have to be got rid of, represented by the dung gate, are discarded and thrown out, have to be addressed. One area which will completely block us moving forward is unforgiveness. How often do we repeat the words of Jesus in the prayer he gave us? The words are so familiar as recorded in Luke 11:4. Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us. By forgiving those who have given us emotional pain, we find a great relief in our spirit. It frees our spirit up from the stifling affliction and bondage of unforgiveness. One other important thing we often need to do is to forgive ourselves. Guilt can creep in. We need to ask God to forgive us for all we have been carrying. We must not live a life carrying guilt around. Again, this can be a stumbling block, preventing spiritual freedom to openly be able to worship and know God's love living in our heart. Remember, we do not have to take responsibility for the one who harmed us if they have not asked us for forgiveness. They have to take responsibility for themselves. All that matters is us to forgive and be healed and get ourselves right with God. Like David in Psalm 51, verse 1 says, when we are at the bottom of the valley, we can cry out, Lord, have mercy on me. Here, we are at the crossroads of our future. We have to decide whether we stand still, or go back to where we were, or trust the Lord. Humbly take a leap of faith, letting him take you through. Let go. And let God. Quite often God allows us to sink to the bottom for us to let go. This is the place where the Lord takes our sins. As we read in Hebrews 10 verse 17, your sins and your iniquities I will remember no more. It may be we are carrying hurts, bitterness, anger, jealousy or a grievance with someone, or we are carrying the burden of the present and not allowing the Lord to be our leader and sustainer. We will not get any joy or freedom until all these situations are completely and rightly dealt with. This can be very painful, but must be faced if we are ever going to have a right relationship with our Lord. Remember what Jesus said on the cross, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Think of the Israelites of old, while in the desert they murmured, complained to Moses so much. Do you spend your time complaining about situations and people like the Israelite? Is that the way through? Remember, Moses was taken all the clout for their complaining, yet he went to the Lord. Where should they have taken their complaints? We may be taking our problems and complaints to God's people, who in turn are taking it to the Lord, but should they have to? Furthermore, Moses, Ezra, Nehemiah and Job sought God's forgiveness on the part of those who were out of tune with their Lord. If I am unhappy, where is the joy of the Lord we talk about? Something must be wrong. I have to come to the Lord. Again, as David says in Psalm 51, verse 17, in a contrite spirit, a heart willing to say, Lord, I repent. Forgive me for rejecting you and following my own ways. I want you to become again my Lord and Master of my life. Furthermore, in unreserved spirit, I ask you, Lord, to forgive those who have wronged us and forgive us for letting it hold and fester in our spirit. Even harder still, if the Lord prompts us, we may need to visit or telephone that person and ask their forgiveness, or maybe, like Zacchaeus, make the necessary restoration of any debt we may have brought them into. Let us read the words of David the psalmist as he cries out to God for mercy and repentance. David says in Psalm 51, 1-13, have mercy on me, O God, according to your unfailing love, according to your great compassion, block out my transgressions. Wash away all my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions and my sin is always before me. Against you, you only have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight. So you are right in your verdict and justified when you judge. Surely I was sinful at birth, sinful from the time my mother conceived me. Yet you desired faithfulness even in the womb. You taught me wisdom in the secret place. Cleanse me with hyssop, and I will be clean. Wash me, and I will be whiter than snow. Let me hear joy and gladness. Let the bones you have crushed rejoice. Hide your face from my sin and blot out my iniquity. Create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me from your presence or take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me. Then I will teach transgressors your ways, so that sinners will turn back to you. It is at this point, when you have let go and thrown out all the damaging things that have affected your life in the past, things that would have continued to block your relationship and walk with God, you can now ask God to heal you and fill those areas that have damaged you, allowing him to fill you with the balm of God's love. It is at this point we come to the next gate for repair, the fountain gate, which we will learn about in our next devotion.